This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Beltway Blitz, every day at noon. A couple of the teams or stories in town and sports that you care the most about, we jam them into one segment. I just thought about this. I'm sure a lot of smarter people than me have been thinking about this for a while. But Juan was talking in his update. Bye weeks have to be petrifying for the NFL. Because how are you mandating and ensuring that players are following all the protocols that they're supposed to when they're away from the facility for a full week? I can't imagine guys are going to do what they used to do when I was covering the team, Danny, and, you know, duck away for 3 days in Vegas, or, you know, go hang out and at the beach, or some of them, you know, leave the country for 48 hours or something like
that. Let your guard down, yeah.
But I'm just thinking about this. Like, what is to keep? We went a month and did pretty well without bye weeks. Now that every week there's four teams that aren't playing, what's to keep those teams? Are you wearing your little watch the whole time? And are you doing all the things you're supposed to? That's kind of scary to think about now that we're in the bye week portion of the season.
100%. I hadn't even thought about it. And you're right. I'm sure smart people did. Somebody kind of circled that date on the calendar within a lot of these organizations and said, can you guys address this at some point in one of your team meetings? You know, hey, don't mess around and screw up and cost us a bunch of games and yourself a season, etc. But yeah, that's a risk, man.
We'll get to Charlie Slows on all the Nats news that came out in the last 24 hours about the players they declined options on, coming up in the Blitz. But let's start off on the football field. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, goes Blitz and with us. Good to have him on the show. Michael, what can you tell us about the bye week protocols and things that the team's doing to ensure guys come back without having contracted the coronavirus?
Well, the biggest one is the players do have to report to the facility every morning to be tested. So daily testing will continue through the bye week. As you mentioned, they do discourage everybody from leaving town. It would be, of course, very tough to leave town because you got to be there every morning to get tested. The big fear, though, it isn't the players and what they do. It's the families, and, you know, you got kids in school. You know, you got a wife who works. They're out there in the world, and cases are spiking everywhere. So, you know, the danger is just that it's going to get brought into the home from elsewhere and then brought out to the practice field and spread. So, you know, the daily testing has been an effective deterrent so far. They'll continue doing that through the bye week. But as we see more cases everywhere in society, the risk increases for these guys.
Michael, we now know. We hypothesized maybe this was true, but we now know that Dallas, at least at the moment they played Washington this past week, is an absolute tire fire. I mean, they're a disaster. They're awful. What do we take out of that game now that we've had some time to digest it? What can be true for Washington based on that performance the rest of the way?
Well, you can still be really pleased with some of the things you saw. Antonio Gibson as a true running back, I thought, looked really good throughout the game. You saw Cole Holcomb really flashing at the linebacker position. You know, some players who needed to step up, who really did step up and give you the promise of depth. But one thing, you know, I keep coming back to, I think the mentality is good on this team. I really do. I think it's a team, you know, of fighters and guys who scrap for the most part. And, you know, I think that's the one thing Ron Rivera promised, and he's brought that. I think back to the year where Washington lost two straight to miss the playoffs under Kirk Cousins, and The first of those was the Monday night game against Carolina at home. And, you know, Cam Newton was hurt, and the Panthers were deflated. You really just needed to, you know, finish him off in the first 15 minutes, but they let him hang around, ultimately ended up losing. I think this is a team that, since the Cowboys were down, since they had given up, it went ahead and just took care of business, you know, and made this not a competitive football game. That's not a given in the NFL, and that's a step forward.
Have we heard from any of the decision makers since Eric Reid turned Washington down?
No, and they are on bye week from dealing with us reporters, so they are doing that. Ron Rivera had his last chemo treatment, so he's been somewhat off the radar as well. I think it made sense from both sides. It made sense, you know, for Washington to offer and say, you know, you can come onto the practice squad. That's the way things are going in the NFL this year. Get yourself into shape for a few weeks. We'll give you the opportunity to get promoted. I also think it is fully within Eric Reed's rights to say, I'm a really good football player. I'm ranked the number one free agent on the market right now. I'm not going to belittle myself with this practice squad nonsense. That's insulting. I see it both ways, but Cameron Curl is going to get a massive, massive opportunity when they come back, because he's going to be a real key down the stretch, making sure you get enough play out of that safety position that the front four can do their work.
Michael, the average NFL football team accumulates 364 yards of offense per game. Washington has one game where they exceeded that this past week against Dallas. What's a fair expectation for this offense down the stretch?
Yeah, it's just a bunch of guys. I mean, that's why, you know, look at who the wide receivers are. You got one star and then, you know, a couple guys who, you know, have been bouncing around, some young guys. Logan Thomas, I think he's a really good depth piece on a good team. He's a great number two tight end for you. You know, who's pressed into this number one role. Same on the offensive line. Jaron Christian, you know, not a bad football player, not a star in this league either, and so on down the line. It's a very average offense, and the scheme to me is very dangerous to run with a group like that, where you try to advance the ball 5 yards at a time. Anything can derail a drive. One holding call can derail a drive. You know, one missed first down can put you behind the sticks, and it's not happening for you. You know, they're going to need more big plays. They got some against Dallas. That's what we don't know. We don't know how much of that they got because Dallas was bad. Big plays are ultimately going to be what they need to score enough points to win, because the defense can't give up seven every single week or give up three every single week.
Michael, I want to drill down on the left tackle spot for a second. I know they helped Cornelius Lucas plenty in his game this past week, but I liked him as an upgrade so far from what we've seen from Christian. Didn't allow any pressures. I mean, is he in a situation like meritocracy-wise where he gets to keep playing, or do they go right back to Christian when he's healthy?
I think as long as he keeps playing well, he will retain the job. Yeah, there's nothing that says you got to go back to Jaron Christian. He wasn't so great that his spot's being held for him. At the same time, I'm curious to see how it looks against the Giants, because you think about it, the Giants are a bad football team. I think we all see that. They're not very good. And they beat these guys 20-19, in a game where there was no home field advantage either way. So coming back, I think it's very important for Washington to win, to make a statement that, hey, you know, they are better than these bad NFC East teams, because that statement hasn't been made so far. So I'm willing to hold off on proclaiming him the long-term answer or anything that, you know, giving him a job for the season. But I do think he will retain the job even if Christian is healthy coming into next week. They'll give him an opportunity to show what he's got.
Michael, thank you, sir. Have a great rest of your week.
You bet.
Let's talk some Nationals, please, Tommy. You can hear Charlie Slow's broadcast Nationals games right here on this radio station when they play, and maybe they'll play 162 again. Who knows? Charlie, a bevy of moves. The Nationals saying goodbye, at least maybe in the short term, to a number of veterans. Who among the group that they've declined options for or that are free agents might you see come back on this team next year?
Well, that's going to be really interesting, hard to say. I don't know that it would be all of them, but any combination, I think you could see. If the numbers are right and based on what other moves they make with this club, because the 40-man roster has been trimmed down a good number, and it gives them a lot of flexibility to go out and whether it's trades or using the free agent market, I think they have a lot of options right now. And again, it'll come down to situations, negotiations, what players willing to play for, what the free agent market is really like. We saw Josh Harrison sign back immediately, you know, and maybe he looked at him saying, hey, you know, bird in hand right now is better than waiting out this entire offseason, because he went through that last year and eventually signed a minor league deal with the Phillies, did not make that club at the start of the 60-game season, and then was out there for a little bit before he signed with the Nationals. So he liked the situation, and now he goes into the winter knowing what's going to happen with him at the start of next season.
Charlie, is the team expecting, is the league expecting to have a DH? The CBA says that's in place for next year that there won't be one, but they just had a season with one, and everyone in the sport seemed to like it just fine. I mean, it's going to factor into decisions. When will baseball know for sure what they're doing there?
That's interesting. I mean, everything really that they did this year was for the 2020 season, and if they don't talk, then you would assume everything reverts back to the rules of prior to 2020, and that you would not have a designated hitter. Most people that I've talked to think that's a negotiating point for the next collective bargaining agreement, and that the union would just not, for lack of a better phrase, give that up at this point. Even if it's something that the players want eventually, but it's something that's not in the current collective bargaining agreement, then it would be something to negotiate to get something else in return if that's what the other side wants.
Charlie, what do they need? What should be on their shopping list? They walked into Costco, unlimited resources, lawn equipment, big bags of dog food, even a Hyundai Accent's up there on available for them to purchase. What should they get in their Costco cart?
Well, I think if they're shopping, you know, they're always looking for starting pitching. That's always been the way Mike Rizzo puts his club together. And obviously, you know, you'll get Joe Ross back after he opted out of the year. But he also opted out of a year and didn't pitch, so you don't know what you're getting coming back. So that's somewhat of a question mark. You saw Austin Voth and you saw Eric Fetty this year, but Anibal Sanchez is now a free agent. So is a starting pitcher on the shopping list? Maybe for this rotation to have that added depth of a deep rotation like they had a couple of years ago. And again, maybe they're looking for a middle of the order bat to put behind a Juan Soto and a Trey Turner, something that maybe they lacked this year in 2020 with the loss of Rendon and, you know, 2 years ago, the loss of Harper. Those are big numbers to try and recreate. And I think they try to do with a combination of people. And, again, injuries factored in. The shortened season didn't go the way they wanted to go. So maybe a middle-of-the-order bat in the free agent market is something that they would really like to put behind Soto to really give him protection.
Tomorrow's the one-year anniversary of the Nats winning the World Series. Charlie and Dave's broadcast will be replayed tomorrow night here on the station, and he and Dave are going to be talking in between innings about what they were thinking in real time. Can't wait to hear that. We're going to be celebrating all day long with various guests and look-back segments on the show and on all three shows, so it'll be good. But looking forward to hearing you and Dave do that tomorrow, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, you're hearing us the entire game with the call, but then this is similar to something we did with some podcasts during the downtime last spring, where we kind of jump in there between innings at some key points of the game and tell you what we were thinking, what we thought after the fact, you know, related to, you know, things like, you know, what was it feeling like, well, maybe we didn't say it, when the Astros took Greinke out of the game after the very close pitch that was ball four in the seventh inning and took him out at that point and brought in Will Harris 2 pitches later.
Week 8 kicks off tonight with Thursday Night Football, 8:20 p.m. The Falcons and the Panthers. NFC South Rouye, eat your heart out, buddy. Are you AFC South Rouye?
I think it's AFC South where I always get it wrong and overestimate the teams.
No, it's not that you get it wrong. There's a division that you like. You just talk about. But what was the guy Lowe would know? Tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. There is a division that you like show favoritism to all the time for some reason.
It may be AFC South.
It might be AFC South. So tonight you get the Falcons and the Panthers, 1-6, 3-4. It's interesting because the primetime games this week almost all are terrible. There's only three, right? Thursday, Sunday, Monday nights. But then the week itself is pretty sensational. I don't know about you, but I look forward to the bye week every year.
I love it.
I buy Sunday ticket, and because I got completely screwed over by my cable company this year, I spent more money than I should have. That's a whole nother story for probably for another program, but just know that I'm furious. But I buy Sunday ticket knowing that Washington's playing at 1 o'clock like every single week, so I can't watch a lot of red zone during that, and I don't try to do the two-screen thing. I'm just locked in on that game. But I've got the 4 o'clock window, and, you know, occasionally they might, in a normal year where they're not going to play 16 games at 1 o'clock, they might have a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. So you get a few weekends where you just get to play the red zone game. This is one of those weekends. Allison said to me last Sunday, she goes, "Oh, man, the bye week's next week?" All excitedly. And I said, "Yeah, the bye week's next week." She said, "Well, what are we going to do?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "On Sunday, like, what will we do? We have a Sunday off." And I was like, "Well."
Because it's work. It's
what it I know what like. I'm going to do. And she's like, "Oh, yeah, you're going to do the thing where you act like you're still just going to watch football all day." And I'm like, "Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do." Now, I'm not saying this as some tough guy, like, "I'm cool, I'm going to watch football." There's remorse, there's guilt. I'm a terrible husband in the fall. I know this. I feel bad about it. There's anxiety about that deep down. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on the couch all day on Sunday, and I'm going to watch Steelers-Ravens at 1 o'clock. You got Patriots-Bills at 1 o'clock, the AFC East top two contenders. Good game. I kind of like the Colts and the Lions, similar teams. One's 4-2, one's 3-3. How about the Rams and the Dolphins? Any interest in seeing what Tua looks like? You curious about that at all?
Chicago? Yeah, I mean, the games, man.
Saints, Bears, 49ers, Seahawks at 425, best game in the 4 o'clock window. And then you got the terrible Sunday night game, Cowboys, Eagles, and I think it's going to be a lopsided Monday night game, Bucks, Giants. But week 8, man, we got some stuff brewing here, don't we?
Yeah, I love it. I love this. It's no negative emotions, no exasperation, no, you know, me sitting there working myself into a red-faced lather that, you know, Washington hasn't solved the quarterback position in 30-plus years, and you know, maybe they're losing to a team that stinks. Maybe they're beating a team that stinks, and there's no positives, and it's just we're spinning our wheel. None of that stuff. Football. Delightful football. And what I always say to the lady wife is, whatever you want me to do, I am happy to do until 12:30, at which time I will be posted up in one spot with beverages, probably a snack. If you want the children down with me, they're welcome to it, but that's where I'm going to be. This league is my job. Get as upset with me as you want. This is the gig. And I feel a little bit guilty that that's the case, but not that guilty because I'm available. I'm available in the morning. I'm available right up until, as I said, about 12:30 p.m., and then it's time for me to settle in. And I will see you after.
So I do the 8 to 10 show, though, on SiriusXM, so I am working until 10. What I do every week is I come upstairs at 10 o'clock when I'm done my show, and I grab the baby, and we go out. We go to a playground. We give mom a little break. Let her do what she needs to do. I take her occasionally after going to the playground. No one's ever there. We push on the swing. We go down the slide, whatever. We do that for like 45 minutes, 30 minutes. Then we go to a little farmer's market, mask up outside, walk around, look at the stuff, occasionally buy chocolate chip cookies that I'm going to eat during the game, and normally don't buy anything and just kind of we're just out of the house. And around 11:45 to noon, I try to be back at the house so that I can – get myself ready for 1 o'clock and for kickoff. But I'm the same way. When I come back, I go down. I normally do a hit with JP and Logan, and at that point, it's football time. And football time goes until I go to bed at 1 in the morning. And normally that means I watch the Sunday night game, and then I've watched one or two condensed games on NFL Game Pass that were fun games that day that I missed, and then maybe I'll go back and I'll watch part of the good guys' game as they've lost. At least two of the seven times, I guess, to this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my Sunday. It's just all day long, and it's a lot of fun. But is there any one particular player, or is there anything you're excited to do? Like, for me, with Sunday Ticket, I'll lock in on a few games, I think. I'll probably major in red zone so that I can get back and forth for all the touchdowns. But I am really excited to watch Burrow extensively, some Titans-Bengals this weekend. I am curious to watch... honestly, weirdly, Cleveland Browns, Paulson. Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, 5-2 against the Raiders. So I'll watch some drives there instead of just letting red zone dictate to me. I'm going to watch Tua's first drive or two with
the
Dolphins.
That's the one I want to see.
I'm going to have laptop, you know, multi-screen situation. I'll have a few games going. Is there anything specific this week, though, that you really want to hone in on?
Tua, you touched on. Fascinated for that. Again, Miami's playing pretty well. Ryan Fitzpatrick, beloved. Everyone is pro Fitzpatrick, and he's done some really good things. He's also turned it over a million times because that's what he does. He giveth, and then he giveth to the other team. But they're making the switch because they're sticking with their rebuild. I'm fascinated to see that for a team that's not out of it in a all of a sudden garbage AFC East. I cannot wait to see this resurgence of the San Francisco 49ers, left for dead a couple weeks ago when they played an atrocious game, got destroyed by Philadelphia, then got obliterated by that very Miami Dolphins team. Now, all of a sudden, a couple straight games, they look pretty good. Fascinated to see them against Seattle, who suffered their first loss of the season. And that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, I know it's cliche. I know it's hackneyed. This is not the 13-12 Tomlin-Harbaugh Bowl, you know, where there's no offense and everything's gross. Both these teams have evolved. Now, Pittsburgh's defense is still excellent. Baltimore's really good, too, for that matter. But you're still going to see some points in this game, at least in theory. That's the best matchup. I know people are tired of it and bored with it, especially in this area, because Washington's been terrible and Baltimore's been pretty consistent. But it's a great rivalry, and that game matters an awful lot.
I saw a stat about that game that Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, after this game, will have set the record for matchups for two head coaches in this era of football. And I don't know where the era gets drawn back to. I don't know if sometimes you hear Super Bowl era, you know, which goes back to Super Bowl I, like over 50 years ago or whatever. But, that, I mean, it shows the longevity, right? Tomlin and Harbaugh are two of the longest tenured coaches. They happen to be in the same division. You don't get that in most places and certainly in a lot of divisions where there's constant turmoil. And look at the NFC East, a terrible division where three of the four coaches are in their first year right now. But those guys are playing – those teams are playing. It was almost 30 times that those coaches have gone head-to-head now over the last decade and change. They're setting a record. But really, really good football this weekend. And enjoy it. You don't have to worry about getting screamed at by anybody on Twitter for, you know, any kind of opinion you have about the team that you've loved since you were a kid. You don't have to worry about wanting your football team to win because people are angry because they're losing draft position, or contrarily, you don't have to worry that your team gets an empty calorie win if that's the fear. If you are one of those people that wants the draft pick this early in the season, you just get to watch football, man.
Yep.
That's all you got to do. You get to sit
Sports
there.
Sports great. That's what we forget sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Football, when you don't have a horse in the race, when you just sit there tonight and watch, it's a blast. You're reminded of that occasionally watching Thursday and Monday night football when two teams are playing. So just enjoy your Sunday. That's kind of the whole point. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We started the show today talking about the report that Haskins and his side of the equation would rather him be traded now because they think it's inevitable that he's getting dealt. Is there a chance he's on the team in 2021, or is that ship sailed? What percentage chance would you set Haskins being on the roster week one 2021 at as of right now? We'll open up the phones at 800-636-1067. The AAA Always On Call listener line's yours. We'll give you our answer next as well. ESPN has a report that Dwayne Haskins is hoping to be traded now because his camp doesn't think he'll be here next year. Is that a foregone conclusion? Is that definitive? What is the chance that Haskins is here in 2021? If you take Rivera at his word, Ron Rivera has said that they have not given up hope on him for the future, that he needed more time, that he wasn't allowed to have this offseason, and they've got to try to not only win football games, but do what's best for their locker room, for the players that are on the practice field that are seeing how these guys act all the time. So he made the decision he had to make. But when asked, is this the end of the road for Haskins in Washington, he said no. I don't know that he would have been able to say yes there, but he said no.
He was like, absolutely. Can't wait to get rid of him.
Give me a percentage chance that Dwayne Haskins is on this team in 2021, Danny, and we want your input as well. 800-636-1067, the number. We'll get to the calls in a minute.
It's going to be higher than you'd think, and I think you're going to be shocked. Wichita State shockered at the reaction here. 25%.
Ooh.
I think it's the only reason it's that high is twofold. One, Ron's doing a lot of Ron stuff, and maybe you want to do right by the owner. Maybe you got to look up in deference one time to the owner to try to appease him and make him happy. That's one thing. Thing number two is I think they're going to not get an offer that's worthwhile to them. I think they're just going to not have anybody call, not have anybody say, we'll give you a conditional this or that or anything else. No, nobody's going to offer up a Take Five bar, a Twix, a Hershey's, anything. No one will offer them anything. So they'll just kind of go, well, we're not going to get anything if we cut him. It doesn't cost that much. He could just be around. I think those are the two factors that are going to lead for them to keep him. Now, ultimately, I do think they move on in some way and realize this is toxic and and get rid of him. But I think there's a bigger chance than there should be.
I go back and forth on this all the time. Because my first thought was 5 or 10%, honestly. Where I'm like, you know what? Here's how this is going to end. He does not want to be here. And in the offseason, his agent's terrific, by the way. For people that don't know, Dwayne Haskins' agent, his name's David Mulligetta, is one of the most powerful, young, star, up-and-coming agents in football. I mean, he is uber-influential. He's on his way to becoming the superstar in that industry. And he doesn't just represent Haskins. I mean, he represents Landon Collins, who got the huge contract. You name a star, he might represent that guy. I think at some point he's just going to go, listen up, you guys don't care that much for him. He doesn't want to be here. What are we doing here? And the team and the agent will get together and they'll figure something out and they'll get him out of here. So that's where I think initially 5 to 10%. Then part of me goes, well, wait a second. They don't have a quarterback of the future. They aren't going to be picking in the top 3, 4, 5 probably. Maybe they get 4th or 5th pick, but I doubt it. I think it's more likely they're picking somewhere in the 6 to a 10 range. And if that's the case, perhaps you're taking a Trey Lance or someone like that, but I think the top two QBs will be gone. I think it's a complete guessing game, small school quarterback with obscure talent that he played against and around him, tough evaluation. I don't know that it's a guarantee that they take a QB in the first round. And so where's your quarterback coming from? If they go trade for, and I'm just going to name names, I'm not saying any of this is likely, but Sam Darnold, Gardner Minshew, if they sign Jameis Winston, if they acquire a backup that they like a little bit from elsewhere that can compete with slash start ahead of Kyle Allen, then you don't need Dwayne Haskins. But they haven't necessarily positioned themselves yet with how they've played and what they're doing to be in the driver's seat to do some of those things. So I could see that 25-30% you're talking about. I guess I say all that in a long-winded way to tell you that I'm going to go with the percentage chance for Dwayne Haskins to be on the Washington football team week one, 2021, I'm going to set at 15%.
Mm.
Is that higher or lower than you would have thought I would have said?
Higher.
Yeah, so I think both of us are higher than I thought. 15 and 25%. I would have thought we combined for like 10%.
I know.
And both of us are, you know, you put us together, we're at 40%. Let's go with the phones here. 800-636-1067 and start with Kevin and Lanham. Kevin, you hear what we're thinking. 25-15% hey. Chances that he's here. What is the chance, week one, 2021, that Dwayne Haskins is on the team?
0% chance.
Zero?
Zero?
Listen, I'm a lifelong Redskins fan, season ticket holder. I love you guys, Grant and Danny. I listen to you guys all the time. But Ron Rivera has been saying he always does the opposite. I see 0% chance. Danny, you hit it. Like, if your listeners really listen to what you just said about the Miami Dolphins, they stuck with the plan. Even though Fitzpatrick was playing well, they know what the future is. They stuck with the plan. We don't have coaching like that. We don't have an organization like that. Even with Baltimore Ravens, like everybody from the Andy Reid tree, you know, the coach for the Ravens, you know, he had different quarterbacks. He went from a pocket passer to a scramble quarterback, and everything they do, they adjust to the talent they have. Andy Reid had Alex Smith, went to a scrambling quarterback. Everything is about player-centric. I don't see that in this coaching staff. So they're not going to tailor everything to Haskins. They're just going to move on from him. I see 0% chance, guys.
Kevin, hang on the line because I want to ask you a question. But first, okay. I want to tell you that you have a really good voice, like a radio voice. You got deep pipes. I like that. I'll trade my voice for your voice any day of the week. Number two.
Nah, you guys are cool, man. It's all good.
I appreciate you. All right, here's number two. And I guess I'm disagreeing with Danny because you kind of reiterated his point, but we've argued about this a bunch, but I'm going to ask you this question. This comp to Miami or this idea that they didn't stick with the plan, I don't like it, and here's why. Tua Tagovailoa is someone that I think that the Dolphins coaching staff adores and probably does everything, from what we know about the guy, that he's supposed to do. Like the notion that because they benched Haskins, they aborted this plan, I don't agree with that. And I guess my question to that is, if he was not only bad, which we saw on the field, but he was also not doing the things he's supposed to do off the field, should they have just played him to play him because he was a first-round pick last year and because he's young? Because Kyle Allen's also young and actually had more success as a starter. And while I don't think he's a starter in the NFL, it's not like they went to Vinny Testaverde, who's 44 years old.
I kind of agree with both of you guys half and half. So I'm not knocking what they did to Haskins by benching him and putting Kyle Allen in. I'm knocking the fact, if you compare him to Miami, he said that Haskins did not have an off season. So same thing with Miami. Tagovailoa didn't have an off season. So you let him sit down, practice, go through 4 weeks of practice like it's an off season. They treat it like an off season. Had Fitzpatrick out there so that Tagovailoa could watch and see what to do and what not to do.
So now you're saying maybe they should have sat Haskins at the beginning of the year.
Exactly. Do the exact opposite. Washington football team always does the opposite of the successful teams. Is the successful. You got to, like I said, Harbaugh had a pocket quarterback. You draft a scrambling quarterback, and you tailored the whole offense to him. This is why these guys have longevity in the league, because they stick with a plan. They go and they also can adjust to the talent they have. If you said Haskins didn't have an off season, okay, like you said, you brought Kyle Allen in. Kyle Allen knows the offense. Let Kyle Allen play those first 4 or 5 games. Let Haskins learn, or since make that his off season, make it that his 4 preseason games or whatever you wanted to call it, like Miami did. Now Miami's ready to go with Tagovailoa after a couple of weeks of watching and waiting and playing, or watching Fitzpatrick. So now they feel that he's ready now to get in, because they know that he's the future.
So I like the call. Appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy.
I get the point. Here's the difference. Tua is a rookie who was never starting before. To have not had Haskins start the season would have been viewed as benching him for Kyle Allen. Whether people agree with that or not, that's what it would have been. He was the starter going into the offseason. He was the projected starter all offseason, whether that's correct or not. Rivera said as much from really day one when he got here, that he will have a chance to keep the job. There's going to be a competition. He referenced Case Keenum and Alex Smith and all that. But when you go from being the guy, and in weeks 15 and 16, he didn't play in week 17, you have your 2 best games, and you go into the offseason. New coach shows up. If Ron Rivera would have benched him for Kyle Allen before he ever played, even if he said, look, it's a weird offseason, it's a weird pandemic, Kyle knows the offense better, we're getting Dwayne up to speed, he would have been annihilated for it, number one. And number two, it would have been a benching of Dwayne Haskins. They didn't bench Tua. He never played before that. So I get what you're saying, and I think in a kind of perfect world, it does make some sense. But in the real world, where people say terrible things about you when you do things, that would not have gone over very well after that guy was starting for the second half of last season, and, by the way, playing better at the end of last season. We'll get back to the phones in a second. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Dan. Mike Jones of USA Today Sports will be on the show at the top of the hour at 1. We're also going to be picking our survivor teams for Week 8. We do it before the week kicks off on Thursday Night Football each week in the 1 o'clock hour. We can do that at 1:18 today. I'm trying to keep streaking, going for 8 for 8 on the season. And I am going to tell you right now, Danny, I'm going to roll the dice bigger than I have so far this year for some strategy. And try to put some hay in the barn for later in the winter, if you will.
Strategery.
So probably this is not the right time to get cute, but that's what I'm going to try to do today. So survivor picks coming up in about a half hour. The question for you guys is, what's the chance Dwayne Haskins is on the team Week 1 next year? We're not just asking this randomly today, because why not? We're asking this because as of yesterday, ESPN had a report that he and his agent, it sounds like, want him to be traded now rather than later, because they feel like it is inevitable that he's going to be moved, and they're making it seem like there's no way he'll be on the team next year, which just isn't the case. I mean, he's under contract. They don't have quarterback of the future. Rivera, at least publicly, has said that they still think there's a chance this guy could work out for them. Neither of us believe all the things that Rivera said in that regard, but Danny's given it a 25% chance Haskins is still here. I'm giving it a 15% chance Haskins is still here. And as we say that, both of us know that it feels a little bit high. But let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Chris has called us from Upper Marlboro. Chris, what percent do you give Haskins to be here next year?
So I'm going to go much higher than both of you. I'm saying 40%.
Oh, wow.
How come?
All right. And here's my thought process on it. First of all, Kyle Allen does not have a contract for us next year to be on the team. And Alex Smith, this is going to be the first opportunity next year to cut him and not pay $20-plus million on the cut. All this kid has to do is listen and follow directions and learn and sit back and learn and try to beat out a one-leg Alex Smith to be the number two quarterback here. But, you know, he can be a malcontent and have his issues, but I think Ron Rivera is an old-school coach, and he's going to say, do your job and work, and things will work out. It's a lesson. Because the thing is the further we – the better we do, and if we get closer to being anywhere near playoffs or the number two team in the East, the further we are from drafting a top-tier quarterback. And that has to be a factor.
Appreciate you, buddy. So the one thing I would clean up there, while you're technically correct, I don't think Kyle Allen is under contract for next year. The team has control of Kyle Allen for multiple years beyond this one with tenders and things like that, and they expected it to be very, very cheap. Now, I'm guessing that the value that he'd be able to claim if he were to be tendered and they would have to bring him back grows with him playing a lot. You know, I remember when I talked to somebody with the team who referenced kind of the plan of having him for several years and they can keep him around and they have control, was that he would be a really cheap option as a backup when backups now make $8, $9, $10 million a year, a lot of them. Guys like Case Keenum who have been proven and had a little success as a starter anyway. But they also didn't think he'd play 12 games when they said that. So right. Maybe the value goes up some, but you're not going to have to break the bank or pay him $14 million or $12 million or even $8 million, I wouldn't think, or anything like that to have him as a backup. But if they want Kyle Allen here next year, they have the opportunity to keep him without him being able to hit free agency. Let's go to Greg in D.C. on line three. Greg, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey guys, can you hear me okay?
We can. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, I think you got a 50% chance of Haskins being back. I think it'll be a major mistake if the Redskins let him go. He's young. He's a kid. Loaded with talent. And we need to exercise a little bit of patience. I think he came into the Washington organization at the worst time and under the worst circumstances. And if you give him, you know, about a year to sit back and absorb, I think he will be definitely more than a serviceable quarterback at the pro level.
But can you sit him for a year and he's not playing and expect that there aren't going to be any stories or he's not going to be upset? No one with the team's going to say anything behind the scenes about him. And we can't even go a week without a story about this guy right now.
Yeah, I mean, but you're sitting back making $5 million a year, whatever he's making. Get over it. Suck it up. Be a man. And then learn. I mean, I'm just saying, I just got to keep it real. I mean, all these athletes are privileged to be able to get paid the money that they pay and play at that level. So just be patient. He'll get his opportunity if they're smart.
Appreciate you.
Good call, buddy. Appreciate you, man. Here's my little response to that, GP. In general, that would make some sense, right? Just be patient. Here's the thing. The longer you're in this wasteland, the more that you're always in that wasteland. Now, I know it's still nobody should be crying poverty for these guys, but I mean, look what happened to Todd Collins, for example. It took him 15 years, basically, to go from, at one point, highly touted guy to get any kind of decent run with somebody. People just think of you as a backup, and you're an afterthought. The longer he's off the field, you're talking about a difference of $60, $70, $80, $90 million over the course of his career earnings. I would agitate as much as possible if that was on the table for me. If I had any semblance of being a starter, or any chance, rather, any semblance of a chance of getting on a football field ASAP, that ain't happening here. Patience is done with the way that the league works now, on both sides of it, whether it's from the team side in evaluating or from the player side in terms of finding a way to get himself paid. He could just be forever in that afterthought, you know, developmental quarterback and then out of football type category if he doesn't get the heck out of here.
I think that's true, and I think you're right. I also think it's a be careful what you kind of wish for situation.
Well, sure.
Because I think if he plays again anytime in the near future, then he's not going to be a starter anyway. So the $90 million you're referencing, he ain't getting anyway. I mean, no one's signing him to that contract initially. They're signing him now to a show-me contract when he leaves here. It's a one-year, you know, $8 to $10 million or whatever it is, right? And so if he plays, and he plays like I'm expecting him to, and I would say like Gruden and Rivera and some others would expect him to, that contract you're saying he'll never get by being on the bench is not coming, as it is. So I think how he plays probably determines whether or not that money is a possibility. We could talk to Mike Jones about this and Haskins' future. Is there a chance he's in Washington next year? As well as a plethora of other things as we go around the NFL with one of our favorite guests on Grant and Danny in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.